Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, May 14th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Subregion Backers Seek Early Opening. Renner, Coos favor following Pritzker's lead on recovery. By Maria Nagel. Peoria. Peoria officials say they'll move forward, with or without Governor J.B. Pritzker's approval, on an idea to create a subregion of 11 counties from his Restore Illinois plan to ease the path to reopening their economies. Restore Illinois, which was established last week, divides the state into four regions and calls for a phased reopening in each as standards are met. Peoria's plan asks the governor to create the Heart of Illinois subregion, which could result in those counties reopening sooner than the larger North Central region. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, however, said he will abide by the governor's decision. All local governments in America are creatures of the state, so we do need to abide with what the governor says, even if we don't totally agree with it, said Renner after attending an hour-long virtual news conference held Wednesday in Peoria. If we just keep tracking our health progress separately, that's different, said Renner. But in terms of moving forward, moving to a more advanced phase than what the governor is permitting, that's not happening in Bloomington. Normal Mayor Chris Coos indicated a similar position Tuesday and repeated it Wednesday. We asked for a reaction and consideration from the governor to do this, Coos said. It's up to the governor or his office to make that call. We didn't say we were going to do this. I don't want to get in a position where we just say, sorry, we're going to do this anyway. I don't think that's a good thing to do. Until McLean County can determine its plan for testing, it makes it just more dangerous, Coos said. It would be unwise for us to move forward. He did not attend the news conference and said he and City Manager Pam Reese are still considering whether to bring the matter before the City Council when it meets Monday. In an informal vote Tuesday, the McLean County Board Executive Committee split 4-4 on whether to write a letter supporting the plan. McLean County Board Chairman John McIntyre said he hopes to have spoken with all 20 board members by the end of the week. If the majority favors the plan, he will bring it to a vote next Tuesday. Peoria Mayor Jim Artis, Peoria County Board Chairman Andrew Rand, and Peoria City County Public Health Department Administrator Monica Hendrickson outlined the subregion reopening plan at the virtual news conference attended by 10 mayors in the area. The 16-page Heart of Illinois plan indicates the subregion could potentially open sooner because the area benefits from high levels of medical services per capita and sufficient surge capacity to manage an increase in COVID-19 cases. The plan calls for reopening based on data, including several factors, such as healthcare, hospital bed and equipment availability, testing capacity, and community engagement. All of the metrics of the governor's outline have either been met or exceeded for several weeks now, said Rand. We interpret that as a very good sign here in terms of health and containment of the COVID crisis in our community. Some of the other mayors who attended the virtual meeting said they were on board with going forward with the subregion plan. It is time to move this forward, said Pekin Mayor Mark Luft. I think up north there is not a realization of how tangible we are in living next door to people who are closing businesses and losing their life savings and struggling to put food on the table. The data speaks for itself. There is absolutely no reason why this plan cannot move forward. We have to do something for these small businesses that are truly on their knees at this point, said Washington Mayor Gary Manier. Again, we have to do it safely, and I think the data shows that we've done a great job to this point to protect our residents and citizens. Artis and Rand said they have not received any feedback from the governor or his office about the proposal. The mayors have also asked the question, what if the governor says no? What are you going to do? Said Artis. The plan is to continue to move forward. Monica thinks it would take us a week or 10 days to ramp up or implement our plan, which we are going to be doing. The governor has previously said he does not intend to break down the four regions. If the governor says no, then we'll continue to implement the Heart of Illinois plan anyway, because we're ahead of his plan anyway, Artis added. But those businesses who are licensed by the state will have to consider that jurisdictional issue that we can't override. The governor's five-phase plan for reopening the state was released May 5th. The state plan splits Illinois into four regions, allowing each to slowly open based on COVID-19 infection rates and available hospital beds. The subregion plan calls for separating Peoria, Tazewell, Woodford, Fulton, Marshall, Stark, McLean, Livingston, Bureau, Putnam, and LaSalle counties from the governor's north central region, with McLean County at the southeast corner. One of it would be looking at things that come on board in phase three of the governor's plan a little bit sooner, said Hendrickson, who is an epidemiologist. We're kind of looking at opening up things at that kind of minimum standard of 50% capacity, assess, monitor those measures before moving on to another stage. So really, the variation is that we're not looking at picking out and choosing businesses or types of businesses, Hendrickson added. We're looking at 50% capacity, she said, adding face coverings and social distancing protocols in those businesses would be followed. Under the governor's reopening plan, each of the state's four regions has reached the second phase. All but the Northeast region, which includes Chicago, are on track to move to phase three at the end of May, followed by phase four at the end of June, which would include the reopening of restaurants and bars, with gatherings limited to 50 people or fewer. And here is a related story on the front page, headlined, Bloomington Normal Testing Site to Remain Until May 22nd. IDPH, Fairgrounds Facility Underused, County at 127 Cases. By Paul Sweech. Bloomington. The COVID-19 drive-through testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds will remain open through May 22nd, Illinois Department of Public Health said Wednesday, as county officials said the number of confirmed cases increased by one. On Tuesday and Wednesday, the maximum possible number of people, 250, were tested at the site each day, IDPH said, bringing to 5,150 the number of people who have been tested there since the site opened on March 28th. IDPH said on Monday that the McLean County testing site would close at 5 p.m. Thursday because the site had been underutilized, with an average of 103 tests performed a day, lower than the 250 maximum. The testing facility was scheduled to move to Peoria. State Representative Dan Brady, Republican of Bloomington, said he had spoken with the governor's office about delaying the closing of the site. Thankfully, we have flattened the curve, and now as hospitals and surgery centers are beginning to again schedule elective surgeries, local doctors are depending on testing to ensure the continued safety of patients and medical personnel, Brady said. I'm glad we were able to buy more time to allow for other local testing arrangements to be made. Meanwhile, Dr. Tom Pliura, a Leroy doctor and lawyer, announced that he would offer COVID-19 antibody testing and nasal swab testing at 2406 East Empire Street, Bloomington, beginning Monday. The testing site at Sports Enhancement Center will be distinct from SEC. Testing hours will be 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays, with shorter hours on weekends, Pliora said. Pre-registration is required at covidtest.center. Earlier Wednesday, U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, Republican of Taylorville, expressed disappointment about the state's decision to relocate the COVID-19 drive-through testing site. Davis spokeswoman Ashley Phelps said Davis and U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, Republican of Dunlap, had fought to ensure funding continued, but we were not consulted about moving the location. LaHood spokesman John Rauber said the federal government will continue to provide support to the new site in Peoria. Meanwhile, the number of people who have tested positive for COVID-19 in McLean County increased by one on Wednesday. The total, however, remained at 127 after the McLean County Health Department removed a previous case from the tally after it was determined the patient did not live in McLean County. The new patient, a man in his 20s, is isolated at home. 8 more people have recovered, bringing that total to 101. 17 people remain isolated at home, and 6 are hospitalized. 3 people died in March. The total cases include 5 residents and 2 staff members of Bloomington Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center, 1925 South Main Street, said spokesman Dean McNeil. LaSalle County Health Department announced 4 additional COVID cases, bringing that county's total to 111. All 4 people are in isolation. Logan County Health Department reported a 10th person with COVID, a woman in her 20s, recovering at home. Ford County Health Department announced its 15th case, a woman in her 30s. Statewide, Illinois Department of Public Health announced 1,677 new cases and 192 additional deaths, bringing the COVID totals to 84,689 cases, including 3,792 deaths. And here is a related story entitled "Test Site to Give County Time" by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. With the COVID-19 drive-through testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds open through May 22nd, local and state officials have additional time to work on expanding testing capacity in McLean County, County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight said. "We're thankful that this resource will remain available for our county and surrounding counties," McKnight said in a statement. "We always knew that this site wouldn't be a permanent fixture in the community," McKnight said, following Wednesday night's County Board of Health meeting. But community leaders were concerned after Illinois Department of Public Health confirmed earlier this week that the site, originally scheduled to remain open through the end of the month, would close at 5 p.m. Thursday. IDPH said Wednesday the site at 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington, would remain open through May 22nd. The site is open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, or until the daily maximum of 250 tests is reached. During the Board of Health meeting, some board members expressed concerns about the staged implementation plan for the Heart of Illinois subregion. The plan, developed by the mayor of Peoria, Peoria County Board Chairman, and the administrator of the Peoria City County Health Department, asked the governor to create an 11-county Heart of Illinois subregion which could result in those counties reopening sooner than the larger north-central region established by the governor last week. Board of Health members, following lengthy discussion, agreed that after McKnight meets Thursday with administrators of the 10 other counties' health departments, Board President Carla Pohl will prepare a summary comparing the governor's Restore Illinois plan with the Heart of Illinois plan. Then the board will take a position on the plan at a special meeting. The next story is entitled, Unit 5 Eases Graduation Plan, by Kelsey Watznauer. Normal. Despite a rocky end to their high school years, seniors at McLean County Unit 5 schools can head to graduation, relieved to know some of their requirements have been waived. The school board passed a resolution Wednesday night to suspend board policies and approve revised graduation requirements because of the coronavirus pandemic. Deputy Superintendent Ray Epperson said the high school principals and counselors met to determine the best path forward, realizing that there are a million different variables in every student's life. The class of 2020 will be required to have 21 credits instead of the usual 24 to graduate. Credit requirements for each core area of study were reduced by a half credit or one semester, taking into account many students don't have the opportunity or the abilities to complete some of those requirements, Epperson said. 2020 seniors also will not be required to complete the Constitution test or fill the state requirement for consumer education courses. The revisions to graduation requirements are based on emergency rules issued by the Illinois State Board of Education following Governor J.B. Pritzker's executive orders related to education during the COVID-19 outbreak. The revised graduation requirements are only applicable to 12th grade students in the 2019-2020 school year who successfully complete those requirements by July 31st, which will allow summer graduates to finish with the rest of their class. The school year officially ends May 27th, and summer school has been postponed. These changes will make the difference for 110 students hoping to graduate, Epperson said. Graduation ceremonies for Unit 5 seniors have been rescheduled for August 1st at Grossinger Motors Arena in Bloomington. In other business, the board also approved a resolution authorizing the transfer of $9.8 million from the Working Cash Fund to the Education Fund. Business manager Marty Hickman said the transfer was the last of the $16.5 million from bonds the district sold two fiscal years ago. It's been sitting there in working cash since we'd sold the bonds, and now we're carrying out the last part of the plan, which is to use that money in the education fund, he said. In December, the board passed a resolution declaring the intent to sell working cash bonds not to exceed $29 million, to cover the district's deficit. During an April meeting, Hickman recommended those bonds be issued in June instead of July to ensure there's enough cash flow to cover bills and payroll after the McLean County Board pushed back the due date for property taxes. At Wednesday's virtual meeting, the board also approved a bid from Givsco Construction Company to complete a teacher workroom remodel and addition project at Glen Elementary School in Normal. Givsco, a Pekin-based company, was the low bidder at $206,700. And the next article is another school story entitled, District 87 OKs Up to $17 Million in Bonds, by Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. Bloomington District 87 took the first step toward issuing $15 million in working cash bonds to lessen the financial impact of revenue lost in the COVID-19 pandemic. With what's been going on across the country relative to the pandemic, there are a ton of uncertainties when it comes to how finances are going to be. And that's true of the federal level, the state level, and the local level, Superintendent Barry Riley told the Pantograph. The board passed the resolution Wednesday night declaring the intent to issue $17 million in working cash bonds. Riley said the working cash bonds originally were planned for 12 to 18 months from now. They were moved up because of the pandemic and its expected impact on local tax revenues and state aid. The district's intention is actually to issue $15 million in bonds, but because rates for bonds are currently low, a $2 million cushion was added to maintain flexibility. If the district makes no budget adjustment and the taxable value of property in the district remains unchanged, issuing the working cash bonds would increase the tax rate by about 5 cents. However, Riley said he expected reductions in the tort and health life tax rates should lower the net increase to about 2 to 3 cents. A 2 cent increase would raise the tax bill for a $150,000 home by $10 per year, and a 3 cent increase would be $15 more per year, Riley said. The district's tax rate is $5.15 per $100 equalized assessed valuation. We don't want to see our tax rate go up. We don't like that. But given the state that we're in, we feel we do have to look out for the kids and the education of our kids in this community, he said. We have to balance that with the needs of the taxpayers, so we think this is doing both. The working cash bonds would be paid off within 12 years. Meanwhile, other debts will be refinanced to get a little bit of savings, or sometimes I'll call it cost avoidance, because it's money out in the future that you're not spending, Riley said. The next story is headlined, DeWitt County Sheriff, Pritzker Order, Not State Law to Enforce. Police will follow laws protecting health safety. By Pantograph staff. Clinton. Another Central Illinois sheriff has weighed in on Governor J.B. Pritzker's executive orders about wearing face coverings and other pandemic rules. DeWitt County Sheriff Mike Walker, in a statement issued Wednesday morning, said an executive order is not the law of the land. That requires our elected representatives in the state legislature to act upon in order to enforce. However, he continued, I will enforce the laws when they are violated, but I will not arrest for a failure to heed a recommendation on how to act, whether in a business or out in the general public. If you do not want to protect yourself and not practice safe distancing or wearing of masks, that is your individual decision. It may not be the right one. It may not be the responsible one. But last time I checked, there's no escape clause in the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights allowing for suspension of our constitutional rights when there is a virus plaguing us. My office will get involved when that individual decision to not follow interferes with or poses a clear and present danger to the health, safety, and welfare of fellow citizens. I will act. He also called for particular mindfulness for senior citizens. I maintain a very thin, very minute thin line when it comes to protection of our seniors. There, I will act first and question later so as to not jeopardize your senior citizens. They deserve all the respect we can muster in this time of concern. We must work together as one community, circling our wagons to protect all citizens of DeWitt County. Earlier this week, McLean County Sheriff John Sandage said his department would continue to prioritize calls. McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp said his office has a responsibility to look at all cases to determine whether they should continue through the courts. The sheriff of Logan County and state's attorney in Woodford County previously said they would not enforce the orders. And here's an item headlined, Mow Now or Bail Later. Up to 3 inches of rain could fall by next week. By Julie Gerke. Lincoln. If you don't mow soon, you probably won't for almost another week. Daily rain could bring totals up to 3 inches over the next few days. The National Weather Service says thunderstorms are expected to develop, with occasional daily storms bringing between 2.5 and 3 inches of rain by Sunday. The hazardous weather forecast includes the counties of Champaign, Christian, Coles, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Logan, Macon, McLean, Menard, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangamon, Shelby, and Vermilion. Severe storms are possible late Thursday afternoon and evening. The consistent rain could cause standing water in flood-prone areas and rising water along rivers, streams, and creeks. Daytime temperatures will be in the mid-70s throughout the weekend. Monday is expected to be sunny and in the low 70s. Here's an item entitled, Lincoln's Festival on Route 66 Canceled, by Pantograph staff. Bloomington. Organizers have canceled this summer's Lincoln's Festival on Route 66, but already are making plans for its return in July 2021. The festival had been planned for July 18th. The festival usually draws 4,000 visitors for a variety of lectures, talks, guided tour of Lincoln sites, a strolling Lincoln impersonator, a classic car cruise-in, a Civil War camp reenactment, a bicycle show, and vintage old-time baseball games. And here's an item entitled, Police. Man Robbed Near ISU, by Kelsey Watznauer. Normal. A robbery was reported near Illinois State University early Wednesday, police said. According to a crime advisory from ISU police, a man was walking along West College Avenue near North University Street about 2:40 a.m. when a black BMW stopped next to him. Two men wearing masks reportedly grabbed him and took his wallet and cell phone before driving away. No injuries were reported and a firearm was not displayed or implied. The victim was not an ISU student. Cameras in the area showed no activity during the reported time frame. The police believe this was an isolated incident. Anyone with information is asked to call the ISU Police Department at 309-438-8631. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for May 14th. Please stay tuned.